The problem is that our ideas are sticky. Once we produce a theory, we're not likely to change our minds. So those who delay developing their theories are better off. When you develop your opinions on the basis of weak evidence, you'll have difficulty interpreting subsequent information that contradicts these opinions, even if this new information is obviously more accurate. Two mechanisms are at play here: the confirmation bias that we saw earlier, and belief perseverance, the tendency not to reverse opinions you already have. Remember that we treat ideas like possessions, and it'll be hard for us to part with them. The fire hydrant experiment was first done in the 60s and replicated several times since. I've also studied this effect using the mathematics of information. The more detailed knowledge one gets of empirical reality, the more one will see the noise, i.e., the anecdote, and mistake it for actual information. Remember that we are swayed by the sensational. Listening to the news on the radio every hour is far worse for you than reading a weekly magazine, because the longer interval allows information to be filtered a bit. In 1965, Stuart Oskamp supplied clinical psychologists with successive files, each containing an increasing amount of information about patients. The psychologist's diagnostic abilities didn't grow with the additional supply of information. They just got more confident in their original diagnosis. Granted, one may not expect too much of psychologists of the 1965 variety, but these findings seem to hold across disciplines. Finally, in another telling experiment, the psychologist Paul Slovic asked bookmakers to select from 88 variables in past horse races those that they found useful in computing the odds. These variables included all manner of statistical information about past performances. The bookmakers were given the 10 most useful variables, then asked to predict the outcome of races. Then they were given 10 more and asked to predict again. The increase in the information set did not lead to an increase in their accuracy. Their confidence in their choices, on the other hand, went up markedly. Information proved to be toxic. I've struggled much of my life with the common middle-brow belief that more is better. More is, sometimes, but not always, better. This toxicity of knowledge will show in our investigation of the so-called expert. The expert problem, or the tragedy of the empty suit. So far, we've not questioned the authority of the professionals involved, but rather their ability to gauge the boundaries of their own knowledge. Epistemic arrogance doesn't preclude skills. A plumber will almost always know more about plumbing than a stubborn essayist and mathematical trader. A hernia surgeon will rarely know less about hernias than a belly dancer. But their probabilities, on the other hand, will be off. And this is the disturbing point. You may know much more on that score than the expert. No matter what anyone tells you, it's a good idea to question the error rate of an expert's procedure. Don't question his procedure, only his confidence. As someone who was burned by the medical establishment, I learned to be cautious, and I urge everyone to be. If you walk into a doctor's office with a symptom, don't listen to his odds of its not being cancer. I'll separate the two cases as follows: the mild case, arrogance in the presence of some competence, and the severe case, arrogance mixed with incompetence, the empty suit. There are some professions in which you know more than the experts, who are, alas, people for whose opinions you are paying, instead of them paying you to listen to them. Which ones?